And it's time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Super Center. Tylock Nasser Vision. Sorry, they have a new name.
Yes.
Tylock Nasser Vision.
Thank you for correcting that. I was like, what? Where's Craig going with this? What is that? It's just so too weird.
And Generator Super Center.
Indeed. Thank you, Generator Super Center. All right, when it comes to wheels off states, what comes to mind first?
Florida.
Okay.
Mississippi.
Let's go to Florida.
Arkansas. Oh, wait a second. Oh, what?
Basically the SEC.
Where does Louisiana rank in there?
Oh, it's up there. Yeah.
Higher or lower than Mississippi?
I would... Ooh, that's close.
That is a good matchup.
I think Mississippi usually ranks lower in all of those important categories.
Uh-huh.
Than Louisiana, but it's real close.
But I swear, I don't know. It seems like we have more wheels off stories from Louisiana, but maybe that's just my bias.
More people in Louisiana than Mississippi?
Yeah. Got New Orleans.
Yeah. There's no town nearly as big as New Orleans in Mississippi, is there?
No, there's no town as big. Like, I think Jackson has 200,000 people, Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas New Orleans has 1 billion people.
Mississippi is...
It's like 2.5 million people live in Mississippi, right?
Yeah. 2.9 million.
Oh, okay.
Growing. The 36th largest state.
Yes.
And Louisiana has 4.6 million, the 25th largest.
Mm-hmm. Told you.
No, you told us the opposite.
Well, Louisiana State Police Troop B. Heard of a troop described as that. It's just Louisiana State Police Troopers. That's what I usually hear. But this is Police Troop B. They received reports of a Toyota Supra driving recklessly on I-10 in Jefferson Parish. The vehicle was said to have struck a concrete barrier, sustained a tire blowout. So troopers head to the scene. They conduct a traffic stop. After they find the Supra and they observe it traveling south on I-310, on the 310 in Louisiana, in St. Charles Parish. So, as troopers are speaking with this guy, and he's a 40-year-old guy named Victor M. Rivas, they say they observed obvious signs of impairment. And... So during their DWI investigation, Rivas gets the idea that, okay, he needs to not be there anymore undergoing this investigation. So he starts fleeing on foot from officers.
No chance.
Bad decision, though, Coach.
He jumps from the elevated portion of Interstate 310 into a nearby swamp.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And he gets away. They have to start searching for him again. And they're searching for him. And then the St. Charles Parish Sheriff's Office gets involved in this, too. Joins the Louisiana State Troopers Troop B, who was selling Girl Scout cookies at the time. And so they find him walking along U.S. Highway 61. When they approach him this time, he once again flees into a swampy area.
Dang.
Now, this is where the complication happens, because there was body cam released of this part of it. So he's trying to swim through the swamp. When you see the officer, his body cam, you can see the gun that the officer's holding in front of the body cam, but you can see him, Rivas, clearly swimming in the background. And then all of a sudden, something from the right side of your picture... will be making a beeline towards Rivas through the water. And it's an alligator. And it attacks Rivas and injures both of his arms. But he continues, after the alligator attacks him, he beats off the alligator.
I'm sorry?
He fought off. Okay. Fought off.
And the alligator was so thankful after that let Rivas go.
gave him a little kiss and then turned around and left.
Yeah. Alligator says, I never considered doing this, but this is quite an experience. Jeez. So he gets away after he's attacked by an alligator. And they lose him. And then they found him again using drones. The drones located him, and that's when they took him into custody. The drones were able to apprehend him.
I guess they had to take him to the hospital first.
Yeah, they took him to the hospital, and he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The alligator was not injured. I don't know why they had to tell us that. But Rivas was charged with operating a vehicle while impaired and resisting an officer. And he also faces a charge of hit-and-run and careless operation. So the police issued a statement that said, impaired driving can lead to serious and unpredictable consequences. All right. This yes. Motorists are urged to make responsible decisions, plan ahead, and always designate a sober driver.
Yeah, he should have let the gator drive.
He should have begged the gator, hey, listen, man.
I'm kind of messed up.
Can you work a stick? I'm in a Supra. But, I mean, should the alligator be charged with something? Or be charged with an assist?
Assault. Yeah, he helped.
Get a junior officer yes. badge.
Yeah, he had to get a badge.
I mean, it was the one who disarmed Rivas.
Right.
Took both arms. So. Saw one comment on the story that said, karma caught up with Rivas before the cops could.
And we seem to have a lot of stories with alligators.
Yeah, Craig.
Yeah, a few, Craig.
I guess so.
Sure enough.
I guess we do, Craig.
Don't we see a lot of that in the news? Lots of alligator attacks.
All the time, Craig. Hey, you listen, maybe they'll adjust your medication soon.
Hey, can you guys hang out a little longer?
No, we got to get
we're
going.
Head home.
We don't want to take up your
we'll
time.
We'll see you tomorrow, though.
Please, yeah, they're mean to me here.
No, you look like you're getting tired. Say that.
They don't like me here.
No, they do.
They beat me about the head and face.
No,
they do bad
it.
Things to me when you're gone.
Hey,
gosh.
Stop that.
And look at this. Look at the picture they posted. This is a stock image of an alligator. They had to make
sure. That's not even the same gator?
Not even the same gator. Look at the one they chose. It looks like it's got a side profile totally shot of him. And it looks like he's kind of got a smile, a smirk on his face. Like he's getting away with something
there.
Does
look like he's up to something.
I've always thought that these outlets just use stock photos of animals. Like, remember the time I showed you guys, I think the Morning News had a story about a horse, and it was just this generic horse, like a headshot of a horse.
Yeah.
This could be any horse.
Horse head.
No, it's the actual horse from the news story.
No, I don't think. I think they have one picture for every animal.
They have.
This is what an alligator looks like.
No, they
like.
Have integrity. They will show you the actual one all the time. And then this story caught my eye out of, I wanted to say this was in France? America? America, France?
Like anyone can even know that.
Why doesn't it tell you where it should be on the front
date
of
line.
The story? Yeah, the dateline should have where it happened. But this was a Nigerian family, but I think it was either in America or France. If that helps you out. Anthony Kalejaye, 34-year-old dad, he walks into his living room and finds his daughter Amelia, who's only 3 years old, doing an arts and crafts project. She found some paper and was cutting it up into funny shapes and making something out of it. The problem was it was a stack of $100 bills that this dad had for, I guess, that was their savings.
Oh, no.
Said the money had been stored as part of a stash of $100 notes typically used during Nigerian family celebrations where it's customary to shower guests with cash during festive displays. And so she grabbed this and had cut it up into confetti. So he checks ChatGPT, and ChatGPT tells him that if 49% of the note and the serial number is intact, they will exchange the money for you.
I didn't know that.
And give you fresh bills. So If you look at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, which sounds like such an antiquated agency, it says that the BEP, Bureau of Engraving and Printing, has the final authority with respect to mutilated currency. Lawful holders of mutilated currency may receive a full redemption at full value when clearly more than 50% of a note is identifiable as the United States currency, as United States currency is present, along with sufficient remnants of any relevant security feature. Or 50% or less of a note identifiable as U.S. currency is present, and the method of mutilation and supporting evidence demonstrates to the satisfaction of the BEP that the missing portions have been totally destroyed. So this is interesting to me because I am in possession of a $100 bill that was torn up and given to me as part of a bet payoff in year two of the ticket.
You still have that?
Yeah. Maybe in year one. And this was at a time when I had zero money because I was basically an unpaid intern up here at the ticket. And our show host at the time had bet me that I couldn't go a week without... There was a particular board op that I would work his name into every conversation that I had with the hard line just to drive him nuts. And the board op's name was Dave Emmett. And one of the hardline hosts, they bet me. You can't go a week without saying his name. I bet you $100. I'll give you $100 bill, crisp $100 bill, if you can go 1 week without saying his name. And I did it. And then he paid off at the end of that week. There was an envelope, and inside the envelope was a note that said, "I didn't think you could do it, MF-er." And it was a very offensive, fully written out word. And then in there with the note was a torn to pieces $100 bill, which was so defeating to me. Because I was so looking forward to it. And he handed me that envelope saying, "Here's your money. You earned it."
You earned it just by not saying a name for a week.
Right.
How and torn was it?
Into pieces. I mean, it was probably torn into about 20 pieces.
So do you think you could take it to the Bureau of
I think
whatever?
I could. Yeah, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Except I don't really know where their storefront is.
Right.
It seems like if you ever had a dollar bill or a $5 bill ripped in half and you tried to use it, the store would go, "Oh, I can't take that."
Yeah, I can't take that. You're like, "Well, it's taped together and it's no. all pieces are here."
No.
Hey, the Dallas Mint is right here. It's right off Woodall Rogers. It's close to us.
And they've started like a dentistry section too.
No, that's a different company. Business. But I bet they've got a storefront there, a little gift shop.
You know, I think we were offered a tour of that place, and I would love to see that.
Wow, I would love that.
Like, it's something, is it a Federal Reserve place, or is it a printing place, or is it both?
I think it may be both. Because there's a Dallas Federal Reserve.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. Secret inside access.
Bet they give us money.
I don't know they give you commemorative money. Do they? Can they? Do they print off some bills that have a big stamp over that says, you know, fake or something, but you get to keep it as a memento?
So in college, George and I toured the Coors Brewery, and at the end, you get free beer.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm guessing the Dallas Mint.
Free money.
They have free beer, too.
They give you free beer and free beer. It's a party.
God, I didn't know that the Federal Reserve had partnered with Coors. Yeah, well, let's do it. Let's get that. Daddy, go ahead and line that up. Call Federal Reserve Coors.
I'm all over it.
And schedule a tour for us to go and get free beer and money.
Y'all can just let me know how it goes.
George, come on.
That doesn't sound like that much
You're not
fun.
Interested in seeing how money is printed?
No. You guys tell me all the time we don't use cash anymore.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why it's rare to see cash, and they have lots of it there.
Just bring me back a bear or something, stuffed bear from the gift shop.
Wait, what?
Craig said there was a gift shop there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Bring me back a stuffed bear from the Federal Bureau of
Maybe
Engraving.
A pencil with a crazy eraser on it or something.
Yeah, the shape of a heart with a big Mylar balloon that says, get well soon. All right.
All right, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we got it all lined up now.